Congressman Mike Rogers is in the studio, and with what's been happening in Afghanistan now for 9 years, our involvement.
Almost 9 years.
John had set up a discussion this morning on the program, on the Marine and Morning Crew program with Congressman. Well, good morning and welcome.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Is that a little sand crust under your eyelids there?
Yeah, exactly. Always.
You know, we just finished July, which tragically the deadliest month for U.S. forces in Afghanistan. I mean, we're in the middle of this surge of forces building up to about 100,000, you know, through the next several months. And, you know, I wanted to, and then, of course, last couple weeks, the big headlines of the information, intelligence information leaks that went to concerning the Afghanistan war. And, you know, being a member of the Intelligence Committee, obviously you have a lot of insight into this. You've been to Afghanistan. And so I guess the first place to start is, let's start with that intelligence leak, release. It's a spill of information, 92,000 pages, you know, of documents thrown onto the web. We come to find out that most or all of it from a PFC who, for whatever reasons, decided to do this. And I guess the initial question is, how serious is this? I think we know that, but that's more of a rhetorical. And the secondly, how can a private do this? How does that happen?
Yeah. Well, there is a serious and growing problem within the government of this. I call it the culture of disclosure, where if you don't like something or you think you don't like something, as in many cases, the information they have that causes a leak is not accurate because they have such a small portion of the whole picture. You know, it's hard to make a decision based on one piece of the puzzle, but they do it often. And this was the same example. So he releases this information to a third party who they say will make the determination there's nothing harmful in it. Well, we know for a fact that people will likely be killed because of this information being disclosed. That's pretty serious. I would absolutely, if they won't charge him with treason, they ought to charge him with murder.
Well, shouldn't he be charged with treason?
I argue he should be charged with treason.
Do you think he will be?
It's yet to be determined, I think, on the way. They're trying to determine how he disclosed it and the way he did it. I guess there's some qualifiers in there, and if he would rise the level.
And isn't treason in a time of war a capital crime?
Yes, and I would have absolutely, I would support it 100%. He put soldiers at risk who are out there fighting for their country, and he put people who are cooperating with the United States government clearly at risk. Them forever. You know, our soldiers will be out of the combat zone one day. Those folks will never be.
And their names are now on the internet.
Absolutely. Yeah. And their cooperation or indicators, maybe even not their names. In some cases, their names weren't in there, but it said it clearly identifying factors that you could, you know, anybody with any trained intelligence eye could look at it and figure out who in the heck it was. And so it's incredibly dangerous. And it's dangerous to our troops. It tells the enemy how you operate under fire, what kind of things that you do when you are under attack or ambush or when you're going after the enemy. All of that is incredibly useful to people who want to kill Americans. And, you know, this is not, I know the administration tried to play it down the first few days. This is incredibly serious. I was glad to see finally the Secretary of Defense come out and say, no, this is pretty serious stuff. And we've seen this, and the problem is, and my frustration with this is, you know, this administration sent an open letter about the Russian spy swap to the judge prior to all the negotiations being finished. They were in such a hurry to get this out that they disclosed things that were pretty harmful to U.S. intelligence. They had a press conference about how the family of one of the Christmas Day bombers was cooperating overseas, which is just an absolute disaster for the health and safety of those people cooperating overseas. They had a press car talk to the press about where the location was of the New York Times Square bomber before we found him. Matter of fact, there were media trucks at his house before the law enforcement guys could get there. And so this culture of disclosure is dangerous. And it leads a PFC who's sitting in a classified a clearinghouse, basically, is what it was. The information would come in, get repackaged electronically, and go to another place. And he was just going along for the ride. He was basically making electronic copies, if you will. And it gave him, you know, a lot of access. Now, he was cleared for it. He had one of the highest clearances you can get. But it allows somebody like that who doesn't get to see the real big picture say, well, I might disagree with this or that.
Well,
I'll do something about it.
Now, you talk about the culture of disclosure, and I guess the flip side of that that we've heard is I've heard an argument made that this is a byproduct of a culture of secrecy. In fact, that where there's too much information that's being declared secret or top secret, and or the fact that there's too many people that have access to this. You said he had a secret clearance?
Oh, no, it's called a top secret, and it's called SCI, which means special compartmented information.
Okay.
So that SCI designator gets you into the highest level.
Okay, because I heard that now below that is the secret clearance.
Secret.
But like 850,000 people have secret clearance. I don't know how many have this higher designation.
Right, but let me just, can I give you an example of why that would be important? If you're in Iraq or Afghanistan and there is a movement of water, right? That's in and of itself is not a national secret. But when you're moving a convoy that might be exposed to enemy fire, that is likely to be a secret event because you don't want the enemy to know that we're leaving at 6 a.m. and we're arriving in Crete at 4 p.m. We don't want the enemy to know that. That could get someone killed. So that might be designated as secret. So when you see the numbers, it's a little misleading because you need, and it doesn't mean that they know all the other secrets either, the top secret stuff. They don't know that. But they need to know that information to protect it. But we don't want the enemy to know that information. And you say, well, it's just water in a truck and you're driving down the road. Well, having that disclosed could get someone killed. And so that's why you have these designations of classifications of information.
Right. But the more people you include in there, the greater the chance that information is going to get out. So I guess
absolutely. And I'll tell you, this guy was very well placed.
Right.
This is one of the worst guys to go bad because he may not he wouldn't read all of that document, but he was, you know, able to snag it as it was passing through basically a big pipe.
Right.
That makes him really
dangerous. So looking at that minutely, this particular thing, without looking at the bigger picture, but the smaller picture is, how do you tighten up security so this doesn't happen again? Can you?
Well, you can't do it in all cases. There are some protocols now that are used in the civilian intelligence side that weren't used.
No more Lady Gaga.
No.
Because he was recording all the information on disks and labeling it as Lady Gaga to take it out. So,
yeah, absolutely.
But seriously, continue.
Well, any way you get it out, really, right? Well, think about it. Thumb drives, disks, and think about this generation of kids. That is absolutely part of their culture, right? So they're plugging. I mean, this is a huge problem. We've had people take iPods and plug them into their computers at work in a classified setting.
But isn't there any way for computer to say, I've been downloaded, this needs to be approved? Now,
there are certain protocols that have been in place in other agencies that are now going to be applied here. And remember, these are facilities that are always intended to be temporary. They're Army, you know, this is the Army field headquarters, right? So it's a big, it's a nice tent, but it's a big tent. And it's used to pass electronic information so that they can control the battlefield. So eventually that will be taken down and moved someplace else. So in that environment, it is a rare day indeed that somebody, one of your own soldiers, discloses information to get other soldiers killed under some crazy notion. And you know, they're still trying to figure out exactly why he did it. But to any degree, in my mind, it's treason. And you've got to send a very clear message. And remember, again, this when you create this culture that it's okay, gee, I don't like it, so I'm going to do something about it, you get this private first class who thinks he can run the war, and he'll run it better, and so he's going to disclose this information. You've got to eliminate this notion that wasn't treason to your country and may have brought about the death of your comrades in arms. I mean, it is really a devastating.
And before we move on to talking about it, what's going on in Afghanistan proper, is there any effort being made to protect the Afghans that have helped us that have been named in these
documents? Yes, and we've had several meetings last week that those folks will either be removed or protected, at least as long as we can provide it.
I mean, because we owe them that.
Yeah, absolutely we owe them that. And it would be wrong for the United States to walk away from these people who had helped us try to make this thing better. And by doing that, this guy just put a price on their head for the bad guys. And so we're doing all that we can to protect them, including moving military units into some of these areas just to protect these families. And that's, I mean, it's really a pretty horrible thing. And I don't think the media play, it's no big deal. Matter of fact, I was listening to radio yesterday, and they were talking about, maybe the good that comes out of these leaks. And they've had these two panelists who are saying, what good things are coming. I mean, this is devastating to the safety and security. And if you've got an 18 or 19-year-old over there, you ought to want to get your hands on this private first class yourself. I know I do. I mean, for the fact that he may have exposed some of these folks to danger that they didn't need to be in.
Well, there's a lot of parallels made between this and the Pentagon Papers release, but then I heard an interesting analysis of that said the difference between this and the Pentagon Papers, that were released right towards the end of Vietnam was the Pentagon Papers came out and released information that had more to do with the overall strategy in Vietnam and had to do with things 10 years prior and the fact that the U.S. had been involved in the coup to remove Diem in 63 and so forth. But it didn't have, there was no specific battlefield intelligence that was part of the Pentagon. It was more about the overall political strategy that went into Vietnam and the fact that the political leaders and what they told the public were two different things. But the fact that when you have battlefield intelligence released in the battle, that just doesn't seem to be.
Yeah, and again, there are some pieces of information that get out that are helpful. And if the politicians are ordering one thing and telling another, that's a problem, and that's something that ought to be discussed. This is not that. This is information that gets people killed. Just like I would argue that, again, the disclosure of certain pieces of that spy swap thing was just made my blood pressure go up. And this is even more dangerous because you've got these troops in the field. And it's not just, we're just not this monolithic country with soldiers floating around that nobody wants to hurt. You'll have other intelligence agencies, trained intelligence agencies, the Chinese, the Russians, the Iranians. I mean, the list is pretty long. Even some of our so-called allies, the Turks, will all go through this information, and they will learn from it. And they will learn how to better defeat the United States of America. And a lot of them will pass information along to people who are in the field so that they can kill Americans. I mean, it is that serious of a leak.
All right, we just got a couple minutes here left before we wrap things up. And so as we mentioned at the top of the interview, and we're talking with Congressman Mike Rogers, a member of the House Intelligence Committee, Afghanistan now the longest war in U.S. history, which seems incredible. Mm. And there doesn't seem to be any end in sight. And when I say that, reaching of goals here, we're still building up to 100,000 troops. The president has set July of 2011, as the beginning of possible drawdown, although he says that'll depend on circumstances in the field. When is this over? I mean, bottom line, when can we go home and get our men and women out of there?
I have said this about Iraq. I think it's the same for Afghanistan. The timelines might be different. You need to train a military and a security service that can protect itself, itself being the government, whatever that government is in Afghanistan. And once we do that, we can leave. And I always argue Turkey is a great example. In the 90s, the Turks lost 40,000 people to terrorist attacks in Turkey. But they survived. They're a government. We didn't take external troops to come in there to take care of it because they built their own military, their own intelligence services, their own police forces that could protect them.
But there was a government there.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, and so what we've got to do is let them get a government, whatever their government looks like.
Is that possible?
Well, at the same time, we're training troops, and we've got to escalate the training of troops in Afghanistan. And it is much more difficult because the level of troop in Afghanistan is very different than the level of troop in Iraq, and neither one of them started out very good. And so, yes, I think it is possible. Their government is going to be their government, and they're going to rely on 1,000 years of culture that we're not going to change and probably shouldn't change. But we can establish security services and others that can protect them. Whatever government that is needs to be able to be protected from Al-Qaeda, from the Taliban, from the extremists. And then we can come home. It doesn't mean they're not going to have trouble. They are. But it means they're fighting the fight completely without us, and that's where we want to get to.
The notion of, and I just as we wrap up here, I guess the notion of I think most people have moved away from creating some sort of democratic government. That clearly is not going to happen. It's not within the tradition of the Afghan people. And frankly, there's not a tradition of government, much less a centralized authority. Is it acceptable for us to leave a dictatorship? I mean, is some sort of strong man that can hold this country together? How do you do this?
Well, I'm not sure it would be a dictatorship, but it needs at least to have buy-in from the people of Afghanistan. And if you get whatever buy-in to whatever they want, that's a different story. But I will tell you the one.
But a lot of people say the Taliban is a reflection of a popular will, or at least a frustration. The Taliban's success is a recent success is a representation of the popular frustration with the central government.
There's certainly some of that, but remember, the success of the Taliban comes at the end of a bayonet. That's why they're successful, and they are brutal. These are the people who sent women home, even doctors, and imprisoned them in their own homes. It was against the law to teach girls to read. They converted the soccer stadium to where they met at justice. And there was no, they would shoot people, stone people. This wasn't 100 years ago.
No one's doubting the brutality of the Taliban. No.
But, that's a different kind of government that I think we ought to be all opposed to. And right now, what the problem with this government is, it doesn't have a very strong central government. It has these provinces, and some of these provinces have horrible corruption problems. So what you've got to do is at least get buy-in from the locals, get the central government functioning. I'm not talking about anything looks like ours, including the military, and then we can walk away knowing that if Taliban decides to come back, they can get after them. They can protect their own citizens, and that's really what we want.
All right. Well, we've solved that. So we've
wow. World hunger is
now,
next.
I get only because it's so frustrating an issue. I think for most Americans, wherever they fall on the political spectrum, it's the weariness is clearly there, and people just longing for some sort of conclusion here that keeps us safe. And that's the catch.
The diplomats and the military folks at odds in Afghanistan, I think, is not helpful at all. And they need to fix that, and they need to fix it now.
All right, Congressman Mike Rogers, thank you for joining us. We appreciate it, as always.